Coffee Shop, everyone. Aren't you excited? We are back with Nicole and Tara. We are talking about Teen Reach and what they do to minister to foster care kids that have graduated out of Royal Family Kids, or they're just in the foster system and they need some extra help. So last week, we had a conversation with them that you really need to go back and watch if you haven't already seen it. It was phenomenal. Some of the stories are so great. Just learning why they do this and why it's so important. You really need to go back and watch last week's episode. You really will be blessed by it, because this ministry is so, so important to reach these young people that have graduated out of Royal Family or just in foster care. And you had mentioned that some of the kids are at risk. What does that mean? What are these at-risk children that you're able to bring to Teen Reach?
Nicole was mentioning that school resource officers sometimes identify kids that are at risk. You know, through personal relationships, we also identify with some of those kids that we can see that there are issues. You know, other professionals have identified that they could use the positive environment at camp. Sometimes they're siblings to kids that have been in foster care, right, and they've been reunified with their family,
right,
or still maintain a sibling relationship, even mm-hmm. though they may be in foster care, but clearly their home is not stable or their environment, right, is not stable, and they could really benefit from camp, either Royal Family or Teen Reach Adventure Camp.
That's phenomenal. We're so blessed to be a part of what you guys do, honestly. How long does it take you guys to kind of plan for camp? That's probably a question a lot of people have, because it's not like VBS. It's a little bit more in depth because of what you guys are needing to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Okay, first we'll say we're hoping that as more years go by, that'll take less time. But when you're starting anything new from, you know, the ground up, it just takes more time. Mm-hmm. And so you have to think and remember why you're doing it throughout the whole process, right? Wouldn't you say?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So our camps are in July, and we take a little break between July and probably January. Okay. And then January kind of hits, would you say?
We hit it hard in January, but we do some things preparing for it, even right after camp.
Right, getting it mm-hmm. reset up. And just so that you all are aware, these are abused kids most of the time, or been neglected, or any kind of horrendous thing that you can think of, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So our preparation starts with really talking to our friends, to our churches, to just bring awareness to what we're doing. I think especially right after camp is one of the best times to do it, because we have a lot of stories.
Yes.
We just had seen God come through. So that's when I have the best conversations, is right then.
Mm-hmm.
We have an application process, and so that takes time for us. We have to arrange our whole schedule for camp. There is a lot to it, but our volunteers that we bring with us don't really have to do that. That's
right.
What we're there for.
That's right.
So what hoops do they have to jump through to become a volunteer? Do they have to do background checks? Do they have to pass certain interviews and screenings? How does that all work?
Well, we have an application that they have to fill out.
Okay.
And they have references. They have three references that we do check out. I had someone say, "Do you really check these?" I was like, "Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I check with every reference." We do an interview with myself and Nicole and our husbands, just to talk with them and make sure that, you know, our thoughts are aligned and they understand the mission of TRAC, because they don't know what they're getting into.
Yes.
You know, they really need to know the situation and what lies ahead. And then we do a background check too.
Mm-hmm.
So as we all know, background checks, they don't cover everything, you know.
No, they don't.
I mean, it's not going to show up if someone has not been found guilty of something, you know.
Yes.
So that's where the references and the interview and the application process comes in. And we just pray. We pray all year long for our volunteers.
Absolutely.
And for the perfect campers to come that need to hear, you know, about God's love. And so, and God always provides. He is so good. And if we have a need, we pray. We don't want to guilt anyone. This is something that we feel people need to be called to.
Absolutely.
And God has always provided. And sometimes it's just amazing. We'll just call. We'll be like, "You will not believe this." God, so good.
So how different is, I understand some of the people who work with the royal family want to help also when the kids graduate and move on with them as well. Mm-hmm. So what expectations do they have? How do you guys prepare them for this age difference?
During our training, we really focus a lot on that because they're used to doing things one way. Mm-hmm. They're used to a certain age group. And we have to say, like, erase all of that because it's a whole
brand
different
new program.
Right. Yes. And so the heart is the same. Absolutely.
Right.
But our focus is a little different in how we reach them.
Right.
So that.
Because they're teenagers now. So you can't just teach them the same way that you would like an elementary kid, because these are going to be junior high and high schoolers. Mm-hmm. Totally different set of brains.
Yes. So you really have to come in just without the expectations of what your experience was. We do spend a lot of time training our volunteers for that reason, that we really want them to be prepared, because you don't want them to be shocked or, you know, feel like, what did I just do? We want them to be blessed by it. Like, we get to see God come through so much.
Right.
That if you have the right heart coming in and you understand that I just have to surrender this, all of it, even when something seems a little crazy, that God is still part of that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So if you stick through it, you know, throughout that whole weekend, having that heart, then we have the testimonies. Then we have so many. And we actually spend some time right after camp sharing with each other all of the things. Like, we kind of need that release.
Yes, absolutely.
You know? Yes.
We've kind of even done that because, you know, we all get emotional on the day that the kids are leaving too, especially with the younger kids, because we've been with them all week.
Yeah.
So then on Friday, all of the staff's wearing their hats and their sunglasses because everybody's just a wreck. Seriously, it's heartbreaking to send these kids back to who knows wherever it is that they're going.
True.
It's heartbreaking. So on that note, though, how is working with troubled teens maybe more emotional or maybe more difficult than working with just your average youth group or youth camp or whatever?
Oh, it's
a
world of
great question.
Yeah. Well, we know trauma changes the brain.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, and these kids have had multiple traumas by the time we get them at age 12. And many of them we don't see till they're 14 or 15. But, you know, each time they are moved to a new home, that's a new layer of trauma. So even being moved from their biological home, it may be dysfunctional and dangerous, but it's what they know.
Right. Yes.
So they're experiencing trauma in their home of origin. And then as they're moved to a new home, that's a whole new trauma.
Absolutely.
Even though it's for their good, their brain does not know that. You know, at that age and their level of development, they don't process it in that way. Some do. Maybe some have come into foster system because of their own self-reporting. That happens. But it's still a level of trauma because everything familiar has been ripped away.
Right.
So we have to understand that they are not going to behave the way our kids
Absolutely.
Behave. They are not going to respond to correction and love and attention the way that our kids will respond to it, or the way that we did growing up, you know? And so we try to teach ways of, you know, dealing with kids. And a lot of times experience is a great teacher, but we do lay that foundation of different ways to deal with kids that have experienced trauma. And they are like sponges. The love and attention we shower, my kids would be like, okay, that is good. You know, step like, back. You know, I've had enough.
Enough is enough.
They just soak it in. They love it. They want a cheerleader. You know, they have so much individual attention and they're just showered with that love. And honestly, we've got 3 days. I'm going to pour it on.
Right.
You know, we don't know if we will see them again. And so we just have to take every single opportunity and just shower them with love. Listen to them. They want to be heard.
Absolutely.
They want to be significant, just like all of us want to
Absolutely.
Be. And that need is so great because they have never felt that.
That is very,
very
good. And
good
that's
stuff.
Very true because, I mean, what adult do you know that doesn't want to be encouraged and uplifted too, or being heard? Just simply, okay, I hear you. I hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's
but
so important.
That first day that they come in, I'm going to back up just a second because that
you're
first
good.
Day, they're unsure of us.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're not like, you know, wanting to give us a hug. In fact, in our training, you need permission even to touch on the arm.
Yes, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows them that we value them because that's
right.
not what's happening in other places.
Right.
And they will kind of flinch back on that first day.
Mm-hmm.
But as we're building throughout that weekend,
trust.
All of that, it comes down.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having different campers on the last day than
of
we
course.
Then had the first day. Mm-hmm.
So are they in a hurry to leave? I know you was talking about that earlier.
Yeah, well, the first day, I'm there right away as they're coming in and I'm trying to start that relationship. And absolutely. I mean, I would say most of them are like, I didn't even want to come. This is going to be so dumb. They made me
lame.
Come, you know, and as I'm trying to give them, you know, breakfast food, I'm like, well, maybe you should eat a Danish.
You know, I'm donut. Just, I'm donuts fix yeah. everything.
You know, and we're just talking and I'm like, I understand. I said, but just wait, you're going to have the best time. And even if they've let their wall come down a little bit in the beginning, by the time we get to camp and they are all together and they see the other people that are at camp that they haven't met yet, the wall comes right back up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So it takes time. By day three, they're like, come on, guys, why can't we just stay longer? Why can't you? Like, next year, why don't you do a full week? And they're like, I don't want to go back. And it means so much because we're like, oh, thank God. Because the first day, we want to be like, everyone, just run and hide. You're on your own. We would never do that. But by day three, the kids, they trust us. They know, you know, they've pushed us purposefully to see if we're still going to love
There's
them, if we're going to send them home. But they don't go home. They stay, and we love on them. And just a week ago, I was checking with our placement coordinator. How are we doing for camp? Are they filling up? Are you getting the applications in? And she said, every boy that is eligible to come back, because we did have some that were graduates, are back. Their parents said they had the best time. They're bending awesome. Over backwards. The boys are behaving so that they get
Yay.
To come. You know, so to me, I mean, I was like, I needed that because I was feeling a little like, oh Lord, does this make a difference? It's so much work. We're trying to get the people. And God's so kind and gracious. He gives us that encouragement. And it was like, thank you, Lord. Those boys want to come back. We get to keep feeding into them. We get to keep encouraging them. Yeah. And many of the girls as well.
That's so good. Yeah. We're asked often, like, how does the 3 days
Yes.
How can you make a difference
right.
in that?
Right.
And the only way that I can explain it, like I said before, it's God, but God is not limited by time.
Absolutely.
Right.
He's going to do what he wants to do, whether we have a week or 3 days, it's still going to happen because they're his children.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So other than that, I'm like, I don't know how this works. It's just beautiful. And I'm happy to be part of it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Awesome. Yeah. That's very good. I know that the differences in the boys and the girls and the activities that you do. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what you do with the girls? Guys, you take fishing and you do guy things. What do you guys do with the girls?
We do the same activities
you
with the girls.
You go fishing with them
and
they love it?
Yeah, the girls are up for adventure too. I mean, some of the extra stuff we do will be more girly, you know, like we did nails. In fact, the girls enjoyed painting the men's nails more than their own.
Right.
Painting heads, the bald men's heads.
Not with the polish.
No, they tried. That was mixed. Paint.
Paint. We got makeup out for that, right? The face paint instead for the heads.
Right. Yeah. It was actually just paint. But anyway, it all came off.
But I think just in to speak to that, the fact that a grown man would allow them to do that and just showed them that they had value, it spoke a lot to them.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's sometimes that the things we don't really plan for that God uses the most, we're like, okay, this is cool.
Well, and on that too, with the differences, I know that Nita was kind of worried about the boys, especially when it came to like the little miniature horses, because, you know, at Whispering Ponies, we have the miniature horses and then these are boys that are thinking, oh, I'm big, I'm macho, I'm the big deal on campus, you know, and then they have the little miniature horse, but they actually absolutely loved it.
Right.
You have a story about that.
Yeah, because I normally...
We do have to take a really quick break. We'll be right back on the other side of this break.
The Bible makes it very clear in James and Matthew that God wants us to care for the least of these, the orphans, the neglected children who have, for any number of reasons, found themselves alone without the family they were born into. God says that by taking care of these children, whom He holds so dear, we're actually caring for God Himself. The sad truth is that in many cases, the loss is only part of the problem. They've had to live through unspeakable trauma, neglect, abuse, and abandonment, situations most of us could not even fathom. Every year, Skywatch TV, Simply His Coffee Shop, and Defender Publishing partner with you, our viewers, to help support and work alongside ministries like ForTheChildren.org, Royal Family Kids Camps, and TeenReach.org to make a real difference in the lives of these children through the work done at Whispering Ponies Ranch, underwritten by the nonprofit Skywatch TV Ministry. This year, for your donation of $35 plus shipping and handling, you can take part in the Whispering Ponies Ranch special offer. Included in this amazing offer is a copy of Nita Horn, the founder of Whispering Ponies Ranch, book, No Fences, It Started with a Plastic Pony. This sometimes heartbreaking, exquisitely told, and often hilarious memoir is the inspiring true story of a poor little girl's dream of horses and where that love would eventually lead. Nita Horn's journey through triumph, loss, survival, sacrifice, devotion, acceptance, forgiveness, and finally, success in Christ will stir your heart and offer you hope in the many seasons of life we all stand to face. But that's not all. You'll also receive the copy of the emotional DVD, Camp, which was inspired by the real-life testimonies and stories of the campers who have been through the Royal Family Kids Camps over the years. You'll learn about these unique and special summer camps designed to help draw children out of their dark pasts and into a bright future. Camp will inspire you and others to find hope in the midst of the most difficult circumstances that life can offer. And as a special bonus, you'll receive your very own Whispering Ponies Ranch keychain and mug. This is our way of saying thank you for partnering with us to do all that we can to help the least of these. Get your copy of the Whispering Ponies Ranch special offer for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling and or join us as a pony or VIP sponsor. Available now through Skywatch TV and the Simply His Coffee Shop at skywatchtvstore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
And then these are boys that are thinking, oh, I'm big, I'm macho, I'm the big deal on campus, you know. And then they have the little miniature horse, but they actually absolutely loved it.
Right.
You have a story about that.
Yeah, because I normally give an orientation. And you know that because you've been the younger kids too. But these bigger kids, I'm like, my orientation to these guys is they're just going to be bored, you know. Boring. I can just, because these are not the same age. And like you said, you have to approach differently.
Differently, yeah.
So I walked up and I just said, okay, who gets to go first? We're going to drive ponies. Who's first? And of course, these boys, there was a little bit of peer thing going on. I don't want to be the first to drive that little tiny mind of a pony thing. And that was exactly how they were all feeling, you know, because these are not big 1,500 pound animals.
Right.
These are little bitty 300 pound
ponies. Size of a large dog.
Yeah, we have dogs that are bigger than some of mine.
It's like a Great Dane size.
So having said that, one of the counselors actually broke the ice. And the girls were pretty at ease with it. Mm-hmm. The boys were a little more like, I don't know, I
might be too cool for this.
But one of the counselors finally broke the ice and went first. And so then one of the kids went. And then after that, it was pretty much everybody got to do fun things. But I did not see coming how much these boys loved controlling this little animal. And I mean seriously, they're driving this little guy. Just for the record, we always have a backup brake system.
Yeah.
We are always in control of that animal. Yeah. But they actually are holding the reins.
And steering them.
And we're talking to them. Okay, now you got to keep them in the center, you know, because if you get too far over here, the wheel's going to hit the pen. But these little boys loved it because they were in charge. And the whole time, we're also teaching these guys how to be gentle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is not a rawhide. This is, you don't got to do hya-hya. It's just very easy. Come over this way. Come over that way. It's very soft. And it's so cool to see these big, burly guys being gentle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Yeah. But I just, and they want to come back. And it's like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah.
And they love it, but they're almost afraid to say it loud enough for other people to hear. But they had so much fun. And it blew me away because I did not see that coming. So I'm thinking, you know, we're going to do horses now, these little cutesy little ponies. And but the guys loved it. And I think they even had a couple of them tell me, I'm coming back to help you. And that tells me that they're finding something in their life that may be purposeful, a direction, something thinking outside of the world that they live in, that there's maybe a way that they could give back. It's just, that's my story.
So amazing. And that's why the partnership between Whispering Ponies and Teen Reach is so beautiful, because you all have the heart that we've been trained for. And then to come to camp and it's like, they're just one of us. Like, it feels like family when we come, right? And they feel that too.
Mm-hmm.
So we're so blessed, because what if what if we're doing all this work? I'm on the challenge course doing team building with the kids. What if I do all that work and then they go to ponies and they get devalued?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That would undo everything that God's trying to do in the other areas of camp. Mm-hmm. But that does not happen.
No.
Yeah.
So thank you.
You're choking me up. Yeah.
And animals are so healing.
Yes.
They are. You know, they bond with them.
They are. We have some new faces this year, just so you know. I don't know if you're aware of
that. We have been seeing.
We've been working. Our little sound system girl over there, Kate, has been helping us develop a new area of animals. And so we have some new faces.
Cuteness overload.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
We're very excited.
They are
so cute. It's
going to
be pretty cool. Yeah. And next summer, not this summer, but next summer will be even better because of some of the stuff that they're wanting to do, especially with Ferdinand. So,
keep
watching for Ferdinand, our Zebu cow.
Wow. So fun. It seems to me you're talking about, you know, being in control with this animal and driving it around. And I know that we talked about the zip line last week and how facing that fear and jumping off and feeling that encouragement from the ground and all these things for a lot of these people, I'm sure, are firsts.
Yes.
You know, you mentioned last week some of the kids who come in on Monday from one home and go to a different home, and they don't even know that during the week their whole world changed again. Yeah. They have no control over so much of what's happening.
Yes.
So to be put in a place where they're in the driver's seat and they have a little bit of control, you know, once they have these experiences and they realize this can happen for them, you know, it's something they can take with them in their future and try to find their way back to that place where they're in control of their life again, even though sometimes with these circumstances, some of them they can't be. You know, like when your home changes during the week while you're at camp, they're not in control of that, but they can remember that is possible because they had that experience once at camp with a pony who, by the way, has no ulterior motive but to love you.
That's right.
They're not trying to get anything from you. They're just there and they're being nice to you. And so as a kid, you know, you can enjoy the therapy of these animals with no ulterior motive and realize that it can even be safe to love. And then that generalizes out to God and trustworthy people.
Right, right, right.
These are all firsts that we take for granted when we didn't come from this background.
Yeah, from that traumatic background.
Very good, very
good. And you mentioned the courses.
Yes.
Yeah. What? Talk a little bit about what the activities are and what you do with these challenge courses.
That's a great place to go right
Yes.
now.
So my husband and I have been trained for challenge course facilitating.
And what is that?
Means,
you may have to explain
which
that.
Means,
okay.
We're trying to take team building activities that are kind of like on the ground activities and some low ropes.
Right.
You all are trained in the high ropes, which is awesome. It's a good partnership. So these activities are to help them build trust in other people and also really to kind of deal with who they are and who they were created to be. Mm. We go in with questions like we have here that we think we're going to ask.
Right. Yep.
But as we begin to work with the kids, different things come up. You see a child's need. It's not written out.
Yes.
So we have to rely on the Lord to help us to really minister to that child at that time in a way that's safe, that doesn't make them feel awkward, like that they're being set apart from anybody else. But we've just seen them be able to process through some things from their past. And we're not therapists, so we're not there to, you know, draw things out. But they're ready. I think that's the difference in the age group. The younger kids, they're just there at the camp to have fun. It's all about fun. But the teenagers, they've already been to therapists. And I think they can sense when people are safe to let some of that information
go.
On the challenge course, we're good listeners. Mm-hmm. So we listen to them. We listen to the Lord. And then we just kind of minister to their heart in a way that they can receive at whatever level that is. Because everybody is just, they're different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their hurts, their pains, their wounds, they're just different.
Do they kind of help each other because, you know, they see, oh, well, I'm not the only one that this has happened to, or their problem is worse than what I went through. So how does that kind of affect them?
There's something very special about the challenge course. So first, you know, they start out with what we call as crosstalk, and it's where they get some really good teaching.
Okay.
We get to take that out onto the challenge course. Okay. So there's three different portions of the day. So they have crosstalk, they go to process a few things with their counselor, and then it's like they're all primed for us on the challenge course, okay? Because they're getting good Bible teaching. So when we're there, we begin our process But absolutely, we see them start to, maybe not on the first day, but they begin to really minister to each other.
Right.
So the only people who are allowed on the challenge course is the facilitators, and the other staff isn't allowed to be there, but their counselors are there.
Okay.
So we have amazing counselors who encourage them and
yeah,
and really just help bring that team feeling as well. So
what all do you do on the challenge course in case somebody, I mean, I know you mentioned that it helps build trust, but what are the activities? Some people may not even know what a challenge course is.
Group problem solving, kind of, you know, mm-hmm. presented yeah. with the challenge and the kids, and they don't
and they
help.
Have to problem
they have
solve.
To kind of figure it out, you know, so there's, you know, a lot of things come up with that, you know, asserting themselves, feeling confident enough to give their opinion.
Drawing them out. Mm-hmm. Like when somebody is being very quiet, I'm able to say, what are you thinking?
Right.
What do you think they should do? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, some of the problems or, you know, activities are pretty interesting. And in my head, because I know how it's supposed to play out, mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, come on. Like, you guys can get this. And it's just, it's a process. It's about the process. It's
right.
not even
it
about completing
the process.
The right. activity.
So do you like...
So our curriculum changes each year. It's so hard to explain unless you really...
I know. We may throw some of these up on the screen so that you can get an idea of what we're talking about. Because some of them are harder to explain. Yeah.
Like there's a platform, you know, that... What do you call
it? It's a teeter-totter.
Yeah,
a teeter-totter.
Yeah. You know, the kids have to work together to try to keep it balanced.
Okay.
So the way that they do that. And they're so creative. Sometimes they'll try to figure out equal weights and have them lay on the end. Or maybe they'll all just huddle in the middle and hang on and be like, come on, just a little. And they're barely on the platform, you know.
But there's a lot of interaction, right?
Yes.
Because they need to work together.
Of course.
Kind of keep it private what we do because the curriculum is written for us. And also, we don't want even our counselors to know what we're going to do because they're part of helping the
right.
kids through it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all new to everybody. And like I said, each year is a little bit different.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Because our kids come back. So I can't do the
same
activities or they'd
time.
Be like, I know how to do
yeah.
this. We want them to wrestle through it, to feel the success or to release something, whatever it is that's supposed to happen for them.
We are all out of time, guys. Yeah. But one more time, just really quick. What is the website that they can go to get more information about Teen Reach or Track?
Teenreach.org is okay. the national website. If they want to email me directly, they can email me at trackspringfield@gmail.com.
So now you guys know how you can get involved. Pray for these people. Pray mm-hmm. for these camps. Be praying for the track leaders, the track kids. And we will see you next week at the Simply Is Coffee Shop.